May it please the court, and thank you for the break. This case has two issues. I think the first one follows in a line we cited in the opening brief, Garcia-Oliveros. Now the court just issued its opinion in Lyons, Lyons, which I think follows the exact argument here. The district court, under Supreme Court precedent in Section 3553C, needed to explain particularly why Mr. Washington deserved a 97-month sentence. And that reasoning, I think, needs to be individualized to Mr. Washington, to the particular defendant. And that's just absent from the record here. The government hasn't identified any statements other than what we've identified, and there were basically two statements, one that essentially drugs are bad, and two that the district court hoped that Mr. Washington would take advantage of his rehabilitative opportunities in the Bureau of Prisons. That's simply insufficient under the requirements of the Gall and Reeder line of cases and 3553C.
This is a bottom of the guidelines range sentence.
Right.
And defense counsel made no argument of any substance at the sentencing hearing. Now, maybe there was a sentencing memorandum that was more robust.
Well, I think that defense counsel didn't make too many. I think the focus of the sentencing hearing really was on this relevant conduct.
Sure.
And the arguments that were submitted before were the argument that the relevant conduct shouldn't apply, and if the relevant conduct didn't apply, you're basically at the statutory minimum. And so I think that's why defense counsel didn't make too many arguments beforehand.
Even after that decision was made, he was invited to make an argument and basically, in
right.
a sentence and a half, asked for a downward variance and left it at that, didn't even justify that request.
Right. Well, and I think that it was a contentious hearing, and I think that he probably was preoccupied with that. I don't think that it makes a difference as to the requirements that the district court has to abide by in terms of explaining its sentence. If defense counsel got up and said absolutely nothing, the district court still, under Section 3553C and Gall and Rita, would have to explain its sentence and particularize it to Mr. Washington. And
so it's a matter of articulation, not the substance of the sentence. We can presume a guideline sentence to be reasonable.
Right. This is a procedural error. It's not a challenge to the substantive unreasonableness of the sentence.
So if it were to go back, could the judge just issue a written articulation of the reasons? Is there a need for resentencing?
Well, I think that there is, because the district court, I think, needs to adequately consider and explain for this court on the record what exactly guides its decisions.
Well, couldn't that be done on paper, since defense had the opportunity to make arguments, made the sentence in half argument?
Right. The other issue that pops up, too, is on a resentencing. Defense would be entitled to argue factors relating to 3553A that were not present at an original sentencing. That's the Pepper case.
Do we know if there's been some institutional rehabilitation or something?
Well, and this is the curious thing, is that we often find out more about defendants once they go to the Bureau of Prisons, because we see, are they taking advantage of the rehabilitative opportunities? I won't speak for Mr. Washington, but I think that is always a possible argument under 3553A that the district court should consider. I think it really gets rid of the error to just say, we're going to send this to the district court, just give us some reasons to justify your sentence and it'll all be okay. I think that there needs to be a more robust sentencing hearing rather than just kind of a pro forma, well, if the sentencing hearing had gone right, here's what I would have said. So we would ask for a full remand, and that was the remedy in both Garcia-Oliveros and Lyons. So I think that, again, this court's precedent supports that remedy. As to the second issue, the court did impose a $500 fine without really making any factual findings as to why $500. I think practically you might think why are we making a fuss about $500? As a matter of law, I think the pre-sentence report says Mr. Washington has liabilities of $15,000. He has no assets. He has no income. He is unable to pay a fine. Now, today it's $500, but tomorrow it might be.
But he's able-bodied. He's got his life ahead of him.
Right, but that's a factor that I think that the district court should again articulate on the record as to why he believes Mr. Washington in particular can pay a $500 fine when the pre-sentence report is reporting that he doesn't have that ability, that you know he has $15,000 in debt. And again, it's really a legal principle because.
Well, interestingly, the judge said a whole lot more about the fine than he did about the prison term.
Well, he explained the fine in great detail. I'm not sure he explained the reasoning behind the $500.
Well, he explained why he wasn't giving one that was within the range.
In the guidelines, right.
Because he can't pay it.
Right.
And that range was really high.
Right.
So he gives him this kind of de minimis.
It's kind of a nominal fine, right. But,
at least
you know,
relatively speaking.
Right. And I think that, you know, in Mr. Washington's position, $500 is a significant amount of money. I wouldn't call it de minimis, but it really is the legal principle behind it. And I think that saying that district courts can disregard the pre-sentence report and impose whatever fine, you know, as long as it's below guidelines, district court could have imposed a $10,000 fine and going forward in the future. So it's really a future-looking argument. Unless there are further questions, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson. Mr. Hong?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Neil Hong on behalf of the United States. And we are requesting that the court affirm both the sentence and fine imposed. The district court adequately explained its choice of sentence of 97 months, which was at the low end of the guideline. This court has recognized that the need for explanation is typically diminished when the sentence falls within the guideline range. The district court stated that not only did he consider the 3553A factors, but he also spoke to the nature and circumstances of this offense, not merely just drugs are bad, but the effects it's having on the community and society, not only the dealing or the using them as well. He also spoke briefly about the need for educational and vocational treatment. Judge Steele then stated to both the government and to Mr. Washington that he intended to impose a sentence of 97 months and asked if there were any legal reasons why a sentence should not be imposed. And counsel below for Mr. Washington had stated he had no legal reasons and only gave what I believe the appellant is conceding are all stock arguments. And this court has stated numerous times that district court does not have to address stock arguments. Briefly talk about the second argument with the fine that was imposed, that a district court doesn't have to state on the record its reasonings so long as but they do need to consider the factors that are given to them, and it's sufficient if they adopt the PSR, or PSI, the pre-sentence investigation, in which the court did. And the court's imposition of the fine was not inconsistent with the PSI in which it adopted, because although it stated that he could not pay immediately, they did state that he could pay at some time, either through the inmate financial responsibility or through the on supervised release. And the district court had stated that the fine would be due immediately, which this court stated that due immediately is not to be taken literally, but just starting immediately, a good faith effort must be made as soon as they're able to.
You'd have to concede, I think, that if your argument to affirm this sentencing justification or articulation by the district court would be this skimpiest record on which a sentence was affirmed. I mean, basically the judge said only that I've considered all the factors of 18 U.S. Code 3553A, and you were involved in a serious crime in the sense of what it's doing to so many people in our society, not only the dealing of drugs, but also the using of them. That's the sum total of the court's rationale for the sentence.
Yes, Your Honor. After hearing a long sentence and hearing that doesn't seem to be what's the only stating on the record. However, that does go to one of the 3553A factors, the nature and circumstances of the offense. It also deals with the seriousness of the crime, which I think it's no secret that East St. Louis has suffered from a lot of drug problems as well. And although
I'm not saying that this or suggesting, and I don't think the defense is either, that this is an inappropriate thing to say. It's the question of sufficiency under the Supreme Court's precedents and ours of what the judge has to do to articulate a reason for the sentence. Just a rote invocation of 3553A with nothing more or with little more than this is a serious crime.
Right, Your Honor, but it's our position that given that it was in the low end of the guideline, and which
may be perfectly reasonable, this is a procedural argument.
Right, and I think this Court's precedent is that the need for more explanation is diminished if it falls within the low end, in which it did. And you can see, this isn't the longest record of statements of reasons.
Probably the shortest that we would ever affirm if we tied with you.
Right, Your Honor. And I guess that's how I would distinguish, they bring up Garcia Oliveros and Lyons, which I guess that would be the shortest ever is why it was vacated, in which they simply acknowledge the considerations of 3553A and the same thing with Garcia Oliveros, which is...
What do we have besides an acknowledgement and the crime is bad?
Well, we also have an acknowledgement that Mr. Washington needs educational and vocational treatment while in prison, and that also went into the sentence as well, which that also goes to one of the 3553A factors as well.
That wasn't really stated as a justification for the, the term. It was stated later on in the transcript, as I recall the chronology here, about what ought to happen once he goes to prison.
Yes,
right?
There was a response back to him. If there are no further questions, thank you very much for your time.
Anderson.
Anderson wants to go home.
Thanks to both counsel. Mr. Anderson, I just want to convey, as I have in the past, our thanks to the Central District for taking cases clearly outside the district and ably representing them. And you're an example of that. Thank you, Mr. Anderson.